Northern Kentucky Health Department's Zach Rainey is confused as to why it's not working in many cities across the U.S. because the epidemiology manager says his department has an 80% success rate in completing investigations.
Our approach is as aggressive as possible. You know, we're trying our best to reach every individual and every contact.
There are frustrations, like when he can't reach people or if the results from COVID-19 tests take a week or more to get. Dr. Anthony Fauci told CNBC communities need to ramp up contact tracing before it's too late.
It's not going well. I have to tell you, it's not going well. Billions of dollars that were given to the CDC to distribute to the states for the purpose of identification, isolation, contact tracing. And that meant do whatever you need to do to get it done. You need to build a hotel to put people in there. Do it.
One reason it isn't working in some places is because there aren't enough contact tracers. Something called the Contact Tracing Workforce Estimator says Ohio needs 69 tracers per 100,000 patients, Indiana 62, and Kentucky 65 per 100,000. In Northern Kentucky, Rainey will soon have 62. The National Association of County and City Health Officials estimates the U.S. needs 100,000 contact tracers, and that would cost $3.7 billion. Christy Eshwanden cites these statistics and others in an article she wrote for Scientific American. She says it's a tall order to be a contact tracer. Not everybody can do it.
It's really a process that's built on trust. The contact tracer has to convince the people that they need to self-quarantine, and so they need to be people who are going to be able to gain the trust of these folks.
And with the current political climate, that's hard. Some contact tracers have received death threats. She cites a few cities and states that are doing the job well.
Really, really crucial part of contact tracing programs is providing the social services that people need in order to do this. And so, for instance, New York and San Francisco are both have some programs set up to help people find housing if they need it. You know, a lot of people live with families and multi-generational families where they may not have a place in their living residence where they can self-quarantine and not be coming into contact with other people.
So what about the contact tracing apps we've been hearing about? Here's how they work, according to a Wall Street Journal video.
If two phones are in close proximity for about 5 minutes or more, they receive each other's tokens and securely store it on the phone. As you go through your day and spend time near people, you collect other tokens and others collect yours. Sadly, someone you were near tested positive for COVID-19. Once a public health authority has verified that, this person's app reflects this and uploads the tokens shared with other people near them.
Researchers writing for the Harvard Business Review wanted to know how to get people to actually use the apps. They help slow the spread of COVID-19 in South Korea, Germany, Singapore, and Iceland. But the scientists point out that to be effective, contact tracing apps must build a critical mass of engaged users, and they really haven't done that yet. Just like Facebook and WhatsApp, the researchers suggest targeting just a small community and gradually scaling from there. For example, college dorms. An app has to be instantly valuable, they say, to anyone in the targeted community who downloads it. Privacy protections must also be in place. Here's Northern Kentucky's Zach Rainey again.
You know, I understand that a lot of folks have concerns with those apps, and, you know, I really couldn't comment on that per se, but I could say that what I understand, you know, the immediacy of those apps would be very helpful.
What about paying people to use contact tracing apps? According to Slate.com, one idea is to pay Americans $1,000 to download the application. The money could come from the economic stimulus. Ann Thompson, 91.7 WVXU.